And now I want to introduce to you Mr. Charlie Mitchell of St. Paul, Virginia. Mr. Mitchell has a remarkable story to tell of how through faith in God and through the ministry of Reverend William Branham, he had a remarkable healing from a dreaded tumor. And Mr. Mitchell is going to tell you in his own words this unusual, in fact, is almost unbelievable account of how God healed him through this ministry of Reverend William Branham. Now, that was 13 years ago, Mr. Mitchell.
And you've been feeling well ever since?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I worked in the coal mine for approximately 23 years.
That's where you were working at the time?
That's where I was working at the time that I had an accident. And when I had the accident, why, I had a brain concussion, busted eardrum, broken neck, missed spine, and...
What happened in the accident itself? What kind of work were you doing in the mine?
I was a mechanic and a trolley operator. And the trolley operator, the trolley car, the pole come off and hit me in the head.
Is this the trolley car that goes down into the mine?
Yes, haul the men back in forwards,
transporting them?
Yeah.
I understand some mines are horizontal and some are vertical. Was this mine directly?
Down.
It was down.
Down, yes, sir.
And you operated one of these trolleys?
Yes, sir.
And the bar came off and struck you in the head?
That's right.
And then what took place then?
Well, the bar struck me in the head, and so I was unconscious. It fractured my skull, broke my neck, busted my eardrum, missed my spine, and I was unconscious, and I went to they took me on to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And during the time, the hospital, I was unconscious. My wife called for Reverend Fulcher, the pastor.
That was your pastor?
That's my pastor.
Fulcher?
Mm-hmm. And so he come and prayed, and the Lord delivered me then.
Mm-hmm.
But in the processing of my examination of the company, they had sent me to different hospitals, about six.
This is the mining company you work for?
Yes, sir.
They sent you to various hospitals?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
And they sent me to there to give me a thorough examination from, I guess, completely. They wanted to see if anything could be done.
Well, they would have to determine, I suppose, what their responsibility was.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
And after they sent me to Knoxville, they sent me to Kingsport, Bluefield, West Virginia, and to Bristol, to Wise, and to Levin.
These are all different hospitals?
All different hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
And in the processing of the time, why, they had my lungs examination, a lung specialist, Dr. Smith's in Bristol.
Mm-hmm.
And through in the processing of my examination, why, he found that a tumor on my left lung was big as your fist.
And what year was this?
This was in 64, 65.
1964.
Yeah, 64. Uh-huh. And that's around along in November of 64 that he had it, and an accident happened in May the 8th in 1964.
So now the accident took place in May, and so from May on in the summer you were in the hospital. How long were you in the hospital?
Well, I was in the hospital approximately 7 days for the injury, but they sent me to various hospitals to run tests on and see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then in November, they discovered the tumor.
Yes, sir. They discovered that I had a tumor of the lung, and he was a specialist in lung, and he asked me had any other doctor had told me about it, and I told him no. And he wanted me to sign a release of my other records where I'd had x-rays made, and I signed a release, and he got all these x-rays together, and he traced it back to 1961.
Oh, so these were x-rays from your previous doctor, your family doctor, for example?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I believe just prior to the interview, you were telling me that you were having some difficulty sleeping even before the accident took place.
Yes, sir. I didn't know what the problem was. I thought it was a mattress, and I couldn't sleep on my left side. I couldn't lay back. I wasn't comfortable, and seemed like I didn't know what was wrong.
Didn't you change mattresses, too?
Yeah, I changed mattress. I wanted to change the mattress and see if that was. I thought it was, you know, could be I wanted a softer mattress, something that could be.
And so now, as a result of the accident and all the reports and examinations, Then they discovered this tumor about the size of your fist.
Yes, sir.
I see.
And he told me also, he said, now, Mr. Smiths, Dr. Smiths, he said, now, Mr. Mitchell, I want to operate on you. You're going to have that lung taken out, and you can't live if you don't. Well, he made me a appointment to the hospital, Bristol Memorial Hospital in Bristol, and I was to go back in 1 week, and as I was going back to be operated on, why, something spoke to me. As I was going down, I was praying and I was meditating to God, and something spoke to me in a seeming an audible voice and says, not be operated on. So I went on to the doctor's office and I told Dr. Smith, I said, Doctor, I'm not going to be operated on this morning. I'm not going into the hospital and be admitted. He looked at me and he said, now, Mr. Mitchell, you know you're dying with cancer tumor of the lung and you can't live with it in there. And he talked, if I did have it done, I had maybe 50-50 chance to live.
Even if you had the operation?
Even if I had the operation.
No.
So I had heard tell of Brother William, Reverend William Branham.
And you had heard of him through?
Yeah, through the Reverend Foster.
I see. That was your pastor.
That's the pastor.
Yes.
And so he told me, he suggested that we would go before to Jeffersonville to a meeting that he was aimed being as Reverend Branham was aimed being a series of meetings in Jeffersonville, and we would go there first. So I asked the doctor, I said, Doctor, you'll give me 30 days to think on this.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back home, and so Reverend Foster went on and made reservations, which I was in so much pain, I just didn't think I could make it. I just didn't want to be in congregation of people, and just looked like the time was up for me.
You had never been to one of Reverend Branham's meetings?
No, sir. I had never seen him before. He'd never seen me.
He'd never seen you?
No, sir.
And how did you know that there would be an opportunity to be prayed for, or did your pastor tell you that you may have an opportunity?
Yes, sir. He told me that he prayed for the sick and about his ministry.
I see.
So I went down to this meeting, and I understand that they had prayer cards that they give out in the meetings.
If you wanted to be prayed for.
If you wanted to be prayed for. So I went down to get the prayer card, and I couldn't get one. And so it looked
just
like...
too many people, or...?
Just too many people. There was thousands of people there, and they said, we just can't pray for all the people,
mm-hmm.
and we're not going to have prayer this time for the sick.
I see.
So I just was left out, I thought. And so I told my wife, I said, well, I've heard tell of this man of having discerning, or he could tell you where you're from, your occupation and your address and all that. I said, well, if I'm a man of God, I'm going down and I'm going to try. I'm going to see. So I went down to the auditorium. He was preaching to several thousand people. He was preaching in the auditorium and over in the gym in the school.
It was divided auditorium?
Yes, sir.
I see. And the auditorium was on one side?
Yes, sir.
With the gymnasium on the other?
Yes, sir.
And you got into which one?
I got in the auditorium side, third row from the back.
Right at the rear of the building?
Right at the rear of the building, and I thought, oh my, I'll never make it.
Weren't you trying to get into the front?
Yes, sir. I wanted to get in the front till I thought the man would have to see me.
Uh-huh.
I thought I had to be in close vision for him, but I just couldn't make it. And so I was back in the back, third row from the back. And so, as he sat there, he ministered to the people to the left and to the right.
Was he preaching? He preached in that service?
Yes, sir. He preached that service.
Do you remember the message?
This day this scripture was fulfilled.
I'm sure you'll never forget
that.
No,
I'll never forget that message. When I get discouraged, I can put that, it's in on live tape now.
Yes.
And when I get discouraged, I don't know where the Lord, I think sometimes the devil beats me down that I don't know where the Lord knows me or not. I can play that tape and just brings refreshing to my mind, right?
Well, describe that meeting now, because we want to live that one with you.
Well, while Reverend Branham was preaching on the platform, and he preached this day where scripture was fulfilled, and seeming like this message was direct to me. And so, after he got through, I heard about him. I'd never seen him before, and he never seen me. And I'd heard about him looking back and telling the people. Well, just about that time, he looked back, and his Reverend Mr. Smith was on the front row.
He called a Mr. Smith out.
Yes, sir. He called Reverend Mr. Smith out and told him his condition.
Yes. And you heard him go through all of that.
Yes, sir.
Were you aware that he did not know Mr. Smith?
I didn't think so.
Had you ever seen anything like this before?
No, sir. I'd never seen anything just like this before.
Right.
And so while I was there, so I just bowed my head in my face and my hands, and I said, Lord, if I'm even a child of God, I said, let this man call my name. Just about that time, I seen one eye look me right in the face. Praise the Lord. And this, I just raised my hands to give God the praise that I seen me.
Mm-hmm.
Then he looked back to me. He said, you're not from here. You're from out of town. And he said, you have been a mine worker. And he said, you from Virginia. And he said, you're up for an operation. And he said, you're up for an operation. He said, if it's that right, says, raise your hand. I raised my hand. And then he said a few more words, and he said, stand to your feet. I stood to my feet. And he told me there, he said, go home, and Jesus makes you well. And praise God, the Spirit of the Lord just come on me. Seemed like I just there, and when the Lord, and he just turned and went to talking to some other people, and I left the meeting that night, and I went to my motel room, and the people, they crowded around me. They wanted to know what I'd done. Well, I said, all the thing that I know is I just give up this whole world and take Jesus.
It must have been a tremendous, exciting moment.
It sure was.
And you know, Mr. Mitchell, for those of our viewers, we have that tape live. For that message was taped in 1965, and that very meeting that he called you out, and he did not know you.
No, sir.
You had never seen him before.
No, sir.
And Reverend Branham had never seen you before.
That's right.
Total stranger. And now we have live on this tape Reverend Branham calling Mr. Mitchell out, telling him his name and where he was from and all about his life, and I want you to hear it now just exactly as it took place at that time.
But what about the elect group? What kind of sign are they supposed to see? What are they supposed to have? Hallelujah! It shall be light in the evening time. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. This day, God's promise is fulfilled. We know that to be the truth. He's here tonight as he was then. Not a preacher. Now, I said a while ago, if you preach anything and it's the gospel truth, then God's obligated to send it to you. Is that true? Now, if that be so, let the God that wrote the word, let the God that made the prophecy, let the God who is God of the Word come forth and prove that He's still God. As Elijah went up on the mountain, watching Elijah. He said, I want a double potion. And the mantle that was on Elijah fell off on Elijah. He walked down and doubled that blanket up and struck the river and said, where is the God of Elijah? And the same thing that happened for Elijah happened for Elijah. And the same gospel, the same power, the same Son of Man that was yesterday is today and will be forever. The man sitting right back there, he's suffering. He's got a tumor on his left lung. He isn't from here. You have been a mine worker. That is right. I'm a total stranger to you. That's right. Shake your hand. The tumor's in your left lung and you're up for an operation right away. That's right? You're not from here. You're from out of town. You're from Virginia. That's right. You believe God knows who you are? Mr. Mitchell? Right. Go home and be well. Jesus Christ makes you whole. Ask the man. Never seen him in my life. He's set me to free. This day! Amen. picture.
Now tell us about that, because you went back there and had another x-ray, and something very wonderful took place.
Yes, sir. I went back to my family doctor, and I told him all the processing and what they had done, and he told me they had found a tumor of the lung, and I wanted him to give me an x-ray, and so he had give me an x-ray, and he said, Mr. Mitchell, I'm going to make you an appointment with the best surgeon in this hospital. So I filled that appointment, and I went to the doctor's office, the surgeon's office, and he looked at this x-ray, and I had it looking there, and he told me, he said, Mr. Mitchell said, don't you let anybody operate on you. He said, there's no tumor or cancer there. And so that really thrilled my heart.
But wasn't there some confusion over your x-rays as well, because they had both on the screen, did they not?
Yes, sir. That was back on Dr. Smith. When he had me, he said, well, I want to x-ray you again. So he x-rayed me again that morning, and so I heard him, overheard him arguing with the girl. He said, that can't be the picture. That can't be the picture. So I thought I had a right to go, and I wanted to tell what God had done for me. And I said, yes, Doc, that can. And the one picture was on the light where I had the tumor, and he showed me big as your fist, and another picture there, and it was gone.
Completely gone.
Completely gone.
And you know, Mr. Mitchell, some years ago, I was listening to that very message by tape, because I have a library of these tapes of Reverend Branham's messages, and I was listening to that tape, This Day the Scripture Fulfilled, and I heard him call that Reverend Mr. Smith out, and then I heard him call you out, but little did I ever realize or believe that we'd be able to sit here in this studio and hear right from your own lips, and I want all of our viewers that will see this film to be blessed by this most wonderful and remarkable testimony. And I want to thank you, Mr. Mitchell, and may God bless you real good.
Thank you.